Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. This is a first for me. I am doing the show from my basement. I'm in Timnath, of course. The roads were terrible. So my wife talked me into staying put. I've got the equipment down here, so it should be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. A first for me, for sure. My son will probably come in here at any minute right when we start this thing. Joining me on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn and UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. Guys, first off, are you staying safe out there? You're not driving around too much, are you?
Not too much for me.
No, Brady, I'm in my house. You're in your basement. I'm in my house, which is a stone's throw away from campus. Been living here all year. My wife Lisa and I are here with our dog. Campus is all shut down, so I'm doing the show from my house as well. But we're also celebrating an incredible day for UNC football, signing day, adding a lot of wonderful young men to our program.
Yeah, and Darren, of course, I know this is an exciting day for you guys as well, and I want to get into that side of it as well on signing day. So many great names. I've got the list pulled up in front of us here, so I want to get into that process. But, yeah, a little snowy out there. First things first, guys, and I know you were on Gail Fallon's show, Mornings with Gail, on Monday. You've no doubt read the article that everyone's talking about with the Greeley Tribune, written by Jaden Watson Fisher. Let me just ask you, Darren, I'll go with you first. Were you shocked by the article when you read some of these comments from these anonymous players?
I was certainly surprised by it. I mean, she had sent us an email prior to asking for a comment, so we provided a comment, but I was surprised to the detail and the approach that she took in her article, for sure.
Ed, how about you, Coach? When you read this, and I know listening to you, and you know, it's personal. These are your guys. These are your players. So what was it like? Talk about the emotions going through reading that article, seeing some of those quotes.
Yeah, you know, as a coach, we want everyone to have a wonderful experience. You know, college football is a really competitive environment. And I knew when I took the job, I have to make tough decisions, right? Who starts, who plays, the amount of their tuition assistance. Like, there's a lot of important decisions. I've been running camps for like 20 years. I love camps. Love camps, Brady. I high-five people. We got our summer camps coming up this summer again. And everybody gets a T-shirt. Everyone gets a prize. And everyone has fun and gets coached. It's different in competitive football. You do have to make difficult decisions as a head coach. So obviously not everyone's going to be happy, but you know, we encourage our players to, you know, if you have something to say, put your name on it. Look a coach in the eye. Don't be afraid to have that conversation. And you know, if you don't have anything good to say, you know, don't say it. Maintain your character. Maintain your integrity. And that's what we emphasize. But, you know, the portal has opened up a whole new environment for players who can leave a school if they think there's a better fit for them somewhere else, academically or athletically. But it's also a two-way street. Like, I'm looking at some of the guys we're getting right now. You know, we got Wyatt Blake from Northwestern. You know, he has 14 games under his belt, a Big Ten experience. We have a couple of state champions from Chandler. And I know we'll talk about this a little bit later. I think a great testament is Kylan Woods, Cassidy's younger brother. Cassidy, obviously, our leading receiver last year. Now his younger brother, we got two Woods in our program. So, you know, we have our morale on our team right now is the highest I've ever seen it. I was in the weight room the other day, and guys are going crazy. Guys are celebrating. And you know what they told me? Like, Coach, can we please just concentrate on the guys that are here in the weight room, the guys in the locker room, the guys on our team? You know, we just want to move forward, and we're really excited, and I'm really excited. And I'm excited to add all these new and incredible players to our team today.
And you're right, Coach. I mean, the transfer portal, I don't know how you guys keep it straight. I mean, it is like the wild, wild west. You see names coming and going like crazy, and certainly want to get into that side of it. The big one here, and again, a lot of the stuff in the article, guys, in this Greeley Tribune article, and we talked to Jaden on Monday's program. And the big one, of course, is the financial aid process. And Darren, you know, you can obviously, both obviously can speak on this so well. But I think when you read this article and you read these quotes and from these anonymous players, some people look at that and go, oh, so a coach can just willy-nilly at the FCS level raise and lower the aid, the financial aid. Darren, I think that this is a great opportunity for our listeners. If you can take us through this process of just how much more complicated this whole process is than maybe the article led it on to believe.
Sure, absolutely. It is a very complicated process, and that's why we have some great people in our athletic department as well as across campus that monitor all of these different aspects that are part of the financial aid process. But, you know, I think the misnomer, and I felt like it was a part of the article a little bit, was that, that coaches can arbitrarily make decisions on financial aid at any point for any reason. And that's simply not the case. The NCAA is very detailed about the reasons why they can. And that's very clear in our aid agreement. I mean, it's very detailed. We also meet with every team prior to the season and go over that, why aid could be taken away. And so there's a lot of communication about it. But coaches cannot, just to be really clear, there are multiple people, multiple layers involved, and people on campus that are intimately involved in this process. So if for some reason the coach came to us and said, hey, I want to cut this guy, we're always asking why. What are the reasons to make sure it fits within what we feel meet the NCAA requirements? So we go through a pretty detailed review, whether it's Coach McCaffrey or any other coach on our staff. We have a lot of discussions about that throughout the year among all of our sports. But quite frankly, bottom line, we don't cut aid very much, rarely. The biggest reason I think we cut aid is when, and this is clearly in our aid agreement, and the student-athletes are aware of this, if their academics drop below a 2.25, that is one reason that we cut aid. And usually if we do, it's minimal. That's the last thing we really want to do is cut aid, because some of these guys really need it, or gals. But it's a way to reinforce the importance of academics. And so there's just a number of reasons that we can, but it just seemed like the article focused on coaches cutting aid, and that just isn't the case.
We're talking to UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn, UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. The last one on that, and I just highlighted this, and again, these are all anonymous players. In the article, she gives them different names. And as you know, this paragraph with Mark, allegedly he said he was one of those students that said basically his percentage was decreased as far as his aid, and neither he or his family was notified. And what you're saying is that's just not possible. And you know, from the research I've done on that side, again, any time aid is reduced, a student-athlete receives a letter from financial aid notifying them of the reduction. Student-athletes also can apply any reduction, cancellation, and aid. So, again, you're getting that paragraph there, and it's like that's not the case. That couldn't have happened, not possible.
Brady, I want to be really clear. I mean, there are people involved. There are many steps involved, multiple people involved. And so could a step have been missed? Certainly. No one is perfect. But I feel really confident about our process and the steps that we take to ensure we follow the NCAA rules. It is really important, not just to athletics, but also to our financial aid office. They're very good at what they do, and they're very detailed. And I feel really good about our process, and I don't think any steps were missed in these cases. I think communication was made verbally and in writing. So it's hard to talk about examples of student athletes that she mentioned in the articles. We don't know names, and there are all kinds of circumstances involved. And so it's really hard for us to comment on some of these individuals that she suggests because of just the different circumstances involved. But I'm confident we have followed the NCAA rules. Now, we're certainly looking into it. Anytime we have an allegation, we want to look into it to make sure our processes are perfect. And so we're certainly doing that.
Coach McCaffrey, Brady, I just wanted to say something.
Yeah. I just want to jump in real quick. So, Darren, I 100% agree with Darren. I agree with everything you just said. I want to explain, though, my role. I just have one small part in this. You know, I can determine what tuition assistance players get when they get to UNC, but the only reasons tuition assistance would ever be reduced with the cooperation of our compliance department is if a player's GPA drops below a 2.25, and even then it would only drop no more than 25% of what their tuition assistance was. Our compliance department, I work with them very closely, and they told me the first day I was on campus that we represent the players. They said, we'll work with you, but we represent the players. So everything I would do would go through our compliance department, who has the best interests of the players at heart, and they are really good at their jobs. You know, I don't have anything to do with enrollment. I don't have anything to do with the bursar's office. You know, these are all separate departments in the school. But I have clearly communicated with every single player, their tuition assistance. It's only been reduced a very few number of times because of players that were really struggling academically. And again, that's an academic incentive to do well in the classroom. Our football players are student athletes, and we expect them to perform in the classroom. So there is an academic incentive. Other players are entitled to scholarships for academic success. You know, players that have over a 4.0 qualify for other types of tuition assistance, which is great. And we raise the tuition of our players much more often than it would ever be reduced. So it was clearly communicated to everyone that got additional tuition assistance. It was clearly communicated by me, at least, with everybody that had their tuition reduced because of struggling in the classroom. And then the only other reason would be conduct detrimental to the team. Obviously, if a player were dismissed, and that's only happened once since I've been here, by the football team, then it would have, there would be a track record going over the course of several months and several in-person meetings and email confirmations before anything like that would ever happen.
We're talking to UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn and UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. Just a couple more on this story, and then we'll move on. Players also, so moving past the financial aid side of it, this stuff is, again, you get into this with transfer portals. I think you could look at a lot of schools and probably get a handful of kids saying that they're not crazy about the coaching staff, the culture. In this article, you do have anonymous players speaking out about the culture, the overall football philosophy, the buy-in. And Coach McCaffrey, I just want to ask you, what are your thoughts there when you read those comments talking about, you know, your overall football coaching ability and your buy-in, the culture surrounding the program?
Yeah, I think our culture is the highest it's ever been since I've been coach here. I went to cancel a workout the other day because of weather, and I got just an overwhelming outcry from our players that they didn't want to cancel the workout. We want to work out. And so workout was back on. You know, we have a lot of wonderful players on our team. We have guys like David Hogue, All Big Sky, FCS All-American, Joe Golden, Zach Angelillo, Brooks Talkington. I mean, all these guys who are leaders on our team are saying great things about the program. And I don't know, maybe you know, people should talk to them as well. I think the other thing, Brady, is nobody in the article is anonymous to me. I want to make that clear. I know who everybody is because I have had these same conversations with the players before they left the program. So I understand not everyone's happy. I understand that maybe this isn't the perfect fit for everybody, but it's certainly the fit for a lot of wonderful players who have great attitudes and work really hard, and I'm blessed and proud to be their coach.
Again, we're talking to UNC head football coach Ed McCaffrey, UNC athletic director Darren Dunn. We had planned to do this in studio. None of us are there, so we're all remote at this point. Guys, what's the next step in this process for you? Do you look at those quotes? And Coach McCaffrey, you said, hey, I've talked to these players. They said the same things to me. Do you look at it and say, okay, I want to edit some of my approach moving forward? Or are you guys both pretty comfortable with how things are going and what you're ultimately doing with your program?
I'm extremely happy with what we're doing. Oh, go ahead, Darren.
Go ahead, Coach.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm extremely proud. You know, I don't do a good enough job of sharing the wonderful stories within our program. We have the two biggest capital improvements in the history of the school. Darren and I work very hard with alumni and some wonderful people at school to build our Empower Center. It's the new state-of-the-art weight room we're putting in. We put a new turf field in our stadium. You know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Darren and I know we're working on other projects. We've recruited some incredible talent to this program from schools like CU, CSU, Air Force, the Naval Academy, Michigan, Duke, Washington State. The talent level is at an all-time high. The camaraderie is at an all-time high. Like, I knew when I took this job, we got no votes to win one game. You know that, Brady. Every coach in the Big Sky voted, said we wouldn't win a game. We won one more game than the team before, despite the fact that we were going through a global pandemic, and we lost 25% of our team after the Lamar game, including one coach for the year and two coaches for 5 weeks. Limited resources, limited facilities, a global pandemic, and our team still fought through to the bitter end. I'm so proud of our guys. We continue to add talented, hardworking, you know, young men with dignity and character and integrity, you know, and and leaders from the various high schools and other FBS programs. And our, you know, I can't do this alone. Me, this is Darren. This is our entire university, our alumni, our donors, the community, you, Brady. We all play a part. Like, I took this job because I love UNC. Why do I love UNC? I love UNC because I spent 9 years up here as a Denver Bronco. I lived in the dorms. I ate in the cafeteria. And when I was asked to take this job, I did think about, you know, is this something I want to do? Do I have the energy to turn around a program? And I thought to myself, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to try to turn, you know, what had been a really struggling football program into a championship football program. Now, is that going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to fight through some adversity. But it starts with people. I love our coaches. I love the people on our staff. I love all the people, starting with Darren, who have supported me and have given me the ability to grow this program. You know, I bought a house here. I live here. My wife and I live here right now with our dog as well. And we're, you know, trying to immerse ourselves in the community. We're trying to build the program. You know, I donate a lot of my own money to the program to help support the needs of our program. So, you know, this is a wonderful community. And I feel like, you know, the global pandemic and COVID has affected a little bit our ability to communicate and to relate, and my ability to get to know as many people as normally maybe I would have. But I'm working hard, Brady. I want you to know that. I am dedicated. I got both feet dug in. I am working hard to turn this program around. But it's going to take a village. It's going to take me. It's going to take our players, our staff, you, donors, people in the community. And I'm just encouraging everyone to stick with me and help me do this. Let's do it together.
We're talking to UNC head football coach Ed McCaffrey, UNC athletic director Darren Dunn. Let's move on to the exciting time, guys. Signing day today. Let's talk about some of those names. And obviously, when I read these names, I mean, I see some pretty interesting names, some exciting names on this list. What was this process like? And, you know, going through that, again, you have the Greeley Tribune article out there. You have some of this negative stuff out there. Did that affect this process in any way?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. We've been recruiting some of these players since, if they're transfers, since they entered the portal, or if they're high school players, we've been recruiting them for a couple of years. And we've developed great relationships with them. So let's just start alphabetically, because I'm so proud of these guys. I mentioned Wyatt Blake real quickly. This guy's played 14 games at Northwestern. You know, I don't remember the last time UNC has ever had this many FBS players join their program. I don't know if people have kept track of it, but Wyatt Blake, dude, this guy is athletic, versatile, is bringing Big Ten experience. He's adding just some toughness and talent to a great group of guys up front. A couple of weeks ago, he FaceTimed me. He had his shirt off on the beach with some sunglasses. He looked like he just left the weight room, looking all yoked, and he was so excited to be a Bear. We're so excited for Wyatt to be part of our family. We got Jaden Latua. He's from California, listed as a linebacker. You know, 6'2", 15. Another, he's a team captain, right? These are the kind of guys we want. He's a leader. He's physical. He is not afraid to hit. But he can really be a safety also, box safety. He can play all over the place. But he closes on the ball really quickly, and he's going to make our defense better. You know, we play a lot of defensive backs in our conference because of all the teams that pass so much. So we're talking two corners, two safeties, nickelback, dimeback. We also brought in Noah Mangum. This guy, student body president. I'm mentioning that first. Student body president, right? How impressive is that? Now let's talk about his football skills. He's got ball skills. He's a playmaker, super fast and explosive, runs a 4.41, you know, 5'11", 180 pounds. Another leader and a guy that's going to definitely add talent to our secondary. Frankie Morales from Chandler. Chandler's one of the most successful high schools in the country, not just the state of Arizona. You know, 5'10", about 170. He's a first-team All-State player. He had a lot of other offers. Another captain of his team, right, at Chandler, one of the most successful high schools in the country. Great instincts, outstanding quickness. LaDavian Osborne, he's a taller defensive back, 6'2", 174 from Texas. And, you know, in our league, we have tall receivers, smaller receivers. So just like you have your shorter, quicker receivers and your taller receivers, you need defensive backs like that. But LaDavian he's 6'2", he's fast. He's an all-district player. He's great at breaking up the ball. He can also, you know, he's long, so he can break the ball up, but he also can pick it off for you. And he's a super competitor. Alfred Smith, another DB out of Arizona, Chandler High School, another guy that's used to winning championship football there in Chandler. And quick, fast, can cover three-star athlete. We have a lot of three-star guys coming to our program, which is a real compliment. These guys are, he's competitive, he's talented, and Alfred, just like our other DBs, not afraid to hit. You know, our DBs are not guys that think that their shoulders are for suits. These guys are not afraid to mix it up. Rocco Traore. Rocco is one of my favorite guys. He looks like he's got a college body already. Explosive, great vertical jump, another three-star DB. You know, we have some openings in the secondary. We have great competition there, and a lot of guys are going to touch the field. We think he has really, really big upside. Rocco's a stud as a human being and as a football player. Kylan Woods, again, we talked to, you know, Kylan stands on his own. He's 6'1", 180, runs a 4.5. He's smooth, great route runner, incredible hands. But I also think it's such a great testament that, you know, Cassidy's younger brother is coming to join our program. Cassidy obviously has had a wonderful experience. He was our leading receiver last year. We relied on him heavily, tough, talented. And Kylan, they're a little, they have different body frames and different styles, but both incredibly talented. So, you know, we joke they can tear up the grass now at UNC instead of in their own backyard. So we're really excited about, and we have more. You know, we have got different time zones that we're dealing with. So these commits are coming in. I'm not allowed to mention names until the paperwork is actually in, so I'm going to wait on some of these other names. But they'll be coming in throughout the day, and we definitely – and the players on our team, you know, because we've talked about it, they're not afraid of competition. Matter of fact, their arms are open. They are welcoming these guys. They can't wait for them to get on campus and welcome them to our team.
Coach, last one for you on all those names. And again, I love. I mean, Rocco, that's just a football name, isn't it, man?
Isn't it
just makes sense. How many of these guys, and I always ask this question when it comes to signing day, how many of these guys do you look at and say they're going to make an instant impact as far as next season goes?
Well, you know, everything on our team is earned, not given. And, you know, we know that. You know, I, as a football coach, have to play the best players on the field. So if a transfer player joins our family, we are expecting them to contribute right away, but they have to go earn it. We have some great players on our team. But obviously, if you're a transfer player, you probably have a couple years under your belt. You probably have a couple years under your belt in a college weight room. If you have other, you know, FBS experience, that's going to help you. I mean, naturally, you're older, you're bigger, stronger, faster in a lot of cases, and you have more experience. So they're probably better positioned to contribute right away. When we build our roster, we also have to build for the future. And so a lot of the guys coming in out of high school, some of them, believe it or not, they're different ages. You could have a 17-year-old coming in, or you could have a 19-year-old coming in as a freshman. So some of them are more mature than others, and you can tell that. But there's other players that have such huge upside. Like you see, hey, in a year or two, they're really going to be a player. And so we're not just building for 1 year. We're building, you know, for 4 or 5 years. And so that's why we need a great combination of experienced players who are, you know, college ready, and younger players who just have a huge upside. So I think we did a good job of bringing in, you know, all different types of players that are all talented in their own right.
Well, if folks want to learn more about these players, too, I know the information and bios will be available at uncbears.com. We'll share it on our site as well, some of these great players we're looking forward to. Guys, as we wrap this thing up, obviously an interesting day. It's not, we weren't just talking about signing day, talking about that Greeley Tribune article, but as you guys turn the page, look forward to that next step. I know you're both excited to grow this program, see what you can do. I mean, Coach, you've been the head coach for 2 years, only one season under your belt. So I know you're both ready to move on and just get this thing going and turn this thing finally get this program to where you want it. And Darren, again, we appreciate your time, my friend. I know you guys are busy trying to figure stuff out and rock and roll, but we do appreciate you jumping on.
Of course, thank you. We're happy to be on anytime.
Thanks, Brady.
Coach, yep. Thank you, guys. We'll catch up with you very soon, and look forward to reading more and more about these new players coming to the University of Northern Colorado. That was UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn and UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. My thoughts, my reaction to the chat, we'll get to that next. We're also going to talk more signing day as players are coming in like crazy to both the University of Northern Colorado, Colorado State, and Colorado. So we'll get to all that and more coming up next on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Welcome back in. 12:34 the time. I am live from my basement. Yes, I've always wanted to say that. I am now, I'm now just like one of those mid-20-year-old podcasters. I'm sitting in my basement doing a radio show. It's interesting. I've never done this before at home. I've brought the equipment home before and been ready to do it, but usually I'm like the mailman. You know, snow, rain, whatever. It's not going to keep me from the studio. But it was pretty nasty today, so I had the equipment ready to go, sweating bullets, haven't operated this equipment in a while, but we made it work. First Advantage Hotline, 888-530-0043, if you guys want to get in on the conversation today. On that chat, I'll recap some of that when I have more time. We're also bringing on Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, on the Buffs side of things for signing day. I want to talk about Colorado State and what they're doing as well. Brian Flores, that's the... Michael, I think it's fair to say that's the big story of the day, perhaps. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. There it is. There it is. Look at that. I don't even need to see our producer, and we're making magic here. Brian Flores sues the NFL three teams as former Miami Dolphins coach alleges racism in hiring practice. One of those teams is the Denver Broncos. So I want to get into this story. We're going to unpack this thing later on in the program, but we are well overdue here for a break, so I want to get to that. But basically, Flores is saying that, you know, the Broncos interview process in that, and I've got the lawsuit pulled up here. I've been reading through it back and forth, and it is very interesting stuff. No question about it as far as, you know, what the Broncos did. In the lawsuit, here it is. I just want to read this part, and then we'll get to it. Here it is in the 28-page lawsuit here. Incredibly, this was not Mr. Flores' first sham interview that was held only in an effort to comply with the Rooney Rule. Indeed, in 2019, Mr. Flores was scheduled to interview with the Denver Broncos. However, the Broncos' then general manager John Elway, president and chief executive officer Joe Ellis, and others showed up an hour late to the interview. They looked completely disheveled, and it was obvious that they had drinking heavily, the night before. It was clear from the substance of the interview that Mr. Flores was interviewed only because of the Rooney Rule, and that the Broncos never had any intention to consider him as a legitimate candidate for the job. Shortly thereafter, Vic Fangio, a white man, was hired to be the head coach of the Broncos. And I do think it's worth pointing out, though, and again, we're going to bust into this more and more. Vic Fangio was replacing a black man as the head coach. As you know, Vance Joseph was the head coach for the Denver Broncos before Vic Fangio. So I thought that note there that instead they went with a white man to be hired. Well, they had a black coach before Vic Fangio. So let's unpack it together. We'll get into it. Bill Belichick is in this story as well. A screwy text chain there to Flores and a mistake. So I want to bust into all of that on the other side. But we're going to get Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. It is a big day in Northern Colorado when you're talking about the Buffs and the Rams and the Bears signing day. A lot of players moving around and coming to hopefully make some of these programs better. So we'll talk to Mark about that on the other side. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from my basement. I never thought I'd be saying it quite like that, but I'm pretty excited about it. I'm in my sweatpants right now. Probably more information than my friend Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, needed to know. I don't think Mark wears sweatpants. You're a jeans guy all the time, Mark. You're always ready for action. I know that.
Well, first off, the fact that you've got pants on, I think, is good news to all of us. Right? So that I think takes care of that concern we all had. Listen, man, when I'm around the house, you know, most of the time when you call me, you know, I'm probably lounging around a pair of sweatpants. So, but you know, the jeans are always handy to get out and take care of whatever job I got to do.
Hey, and you know what? Sadly, the debate as to whether to wear pants or not was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So it's a weird thing, man, doing the show from your basement. Mark, it's a crazy time, man, in this world. You and I have talked a lot about the transfer portal on this show. We've talked a lot about the big picture stuff surrounding college football. Is today more or less kind of like a sigh of relief, though, for the Buffs? I mean, the Buffs, the Rams, and the Bears, a lot of the teams that we cover, are all experiencing gigantic numbers as far as players transferring out. Is this kind of day like, whew, okay, we're getting some guys in? That's a sigh of relief.
Well, do you know what it is? In fact, I was did a speaking event on Monday and had some bus fans come up to me, and you know they had firmly hit the panic button. And I said, would you just relax a little bit, okay? This is a new world for all of us. And so what today is showing that when you're, you know, when we're seeing the names jump into the portal, immediately there's panic going on. And you don't know about what's going on behind the scenes and who's going to be signed and who's not going to be signed. And so what it does, it teaches, I think, fans a little bit of, hey, would you just relax and wait until this thing all settles and it'll know exactly if this is going to be, is it a program that's in the red or in the black? And I think when you look at what Colorado has done, you know, I looked at all the guys that transferred, and I don't mean to talk poorly about anybody, but I looked at that list and I said, okay, there's probably four, maybe five impact guys that decided to leave. And when it's all said and done, the replacements are in the same category as the guys left, in large part. I think there are a lot of the guys that were outside of the impact guys that left. I think there were some upgrades that were done. And so, you know, if you're looking at the people who rank these kind of things, they said the Colorado did very, very well. They've got a top, you know, maybe 30 class in the country coming in here. And so I think it's a good lesson for everybody. Just sit back and relax a little bit. Just because when this thing is opened up and these players have seen, you know, it's, you know, I do livestock quite a bit. When you open the gate, all of a sudden the livestock look over and go, hey, we need to get out of here, right? That's kind of what just happened. The portal hit, and all these players are like, ooh, I get a chance to go and maybe test the water someplace else. And so it was exciting. This will settle down as we kind of work our way through the next few seasons here. But ultimately, I think from Colorado's perspective, they ended up in the black of this, and it might be better now than they were prior to all these players leaving.
We're talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Talk to us about, obviously, the first thing we always look at is the quarterback position, and that quarterback spot wasn't perfect last year. Certainly some improvement there, but they did feel that we got some depth coming in, and that was sorely needed for CU with the injuries that they dealt with and whatnot. So this was a big one. Talk to us about that quarterback room and the way it kind of looks now.
Well, I think what it's going to be is a lot of competition. I mean, Brandon Lewis, obviously, is the – you know, the guy that was a starter a year ago, and so he's the incumbent, if you will. But J.T. Shrout now, Carl just said during his press conference, I'm at the Champion Center right now, said that they expect J.T. Shrout to be full go by the time spring ball gets around, and so he's going to jump in there. You got Maddox Kopp, who's the transfer from Houston that comes in. You've got some other young guys that are going to be bringing in, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, and so all of a sudden that becomes an area where you were down to the nub, if you will, this past year because of injuries and attrition, all that. All of a sudden, it becomes a very deep position, man. So I'm going to be really fascinated, I think, to watch, you know, that competition once spring ball gets underway, and especially once we get to the fall.
So what else stood out to you, Mark, as far as players? Now, you know this so much better than I do because you get you're the breath of this football team, you know, looking at everything, the ins and outs. But what else stood out to you as far as players that you say, man, that guy's a football player. That guy's going to make an immediate impact.
Well, I just did some interviews with new offensive coaches that are all the coaches that came in here. We were laughing about, you know, trying to name specific guys. They're like, please don't ask me all the names. I said, I'm not going to. Just because, like, I can't go and give you all names right now. I'll tell you this. They got an offensive lineman from Alabama who started some games for them at Alabama. He looks to be an impact guy. They brought in a couple of veteran offensive line guys. I think the Sneed kid, the wide receiver from Baylor, who was a top-level receiver at Baylor, is going to come in and be an impact guy right away. They picked up an FCS All-American running back. He was, number two or three, I think, in the country in rushing this past year. I think he looks to be, Ramon Jefferson, I think is his name, he looks to be a guy that can come in and be an impact guy right away. And so, you know, that's what we're dealing with the transfer portal thing. It's kind of free agency for college football. And just like here in a few weeks, you know, we'll start talking about that from a football standpoint in the NFL, and everyone gets excited about the free agency side. It's kind of that way in college now, that you look at a guy and say, okay, he did this at this level or that program. And so I think, you know, as they look at this thing, they did very well from a transfer portal standpoint. They've got a kid named, his last name's Maines, who is an FCS guy who comes in as a defensive end, and it looks to be real exciting. And so, you know, the proof will be in the pudding when they get on the field. But at least from a perception standpoint, I think you feel real good that they've upgraded at a number of positions. Now, did they equal, you know, was there one for one for every one of the impact guys they lost? Well, maybe not. But I think there were plenty of those guys they kind of covered with what appear to be equal talents. And then they upgraded with some of the other guys that might not have been considered impact guys that decided to leave. And so that's why I think everyone's feeling pretty good about Colorado tonight.
Well, and what was kind of the theme of this? Because, you know, again, addressing needs, you see certain positions. I mentioned the quarterback side of it, but I'm always curious, you know, where did you see a heavy, emphasis on the defensive side of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball in those positions, you know, when you look at some of those key positions that the Buffs certainly needed to fill and get better in on the offensive side? What was kind of the theme for this year's signing day for the Buffs?
Well, I'm not sure if there's actually a theme you can land, because when you're a 4-win football team, listen, you need help everywhere. And so, you know, it's not like they had one area of liability last year. There were plenty of areas you could kind of point to. And so I think they went out and filled needs. All those guys just talked about depth at quarterback. Obviously, that's good to have competition there. They found some offensive linemen that look like they could maybe be starters right now. They picked up a defensive lineman or two and they can add them right there. They picked up a junior color safety that looks like he might be able to come in and play right away. And they're looking for some corner help. And so I think they kind of covered the gamut of this football team because they had to. This wasn't a team that was, you know, maybe say just on the verge of greatness. It was one that Carl Durrell's building, for goodness sakes, after, you know, so many years of this thing being down. And so I think he covered all aspects of the football team and just continues to try and build depth and numbers, I think, quality numbers in all the different areas of this football team. And I think that's the way, you know, that's the way you can change football programs right now, because of the transfer portal that you couldn't do before. Before, when you brought in a transfer, unless they're a grad transfer, they're going to have to sit, right? And now you've got the opportunity to have guys that come in and make an immediate impact because of, you know, that one-time transfer exception, because they don't have to sit out right now. And so that's why I think this is kind of exciting. And I think it really kind of piques everybody's interest.
Talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, on the basketball side of things, you guys get back at it tomorrow against Oregon. I know the Buffs are just ready to turn the page after that rough game against Washington State, where they put up 43 points. I know they're desperate to get the bad taste out of their mouth from that one.
Oh, yeah, that was as bad a game as I remember calling. And you saw, you know, I've said it many times in your show, Brady, that this team is going to win a game or two. We're kind of raising an eyebrow. Maybe they did that last Tuesday with the victory at Oregon. And then the one on Sunday was one on the other side of that, where you're scratching your head trying to figure things out. But listen, it's not going to be easy. I mean, you've got, you know, Tristan DeSilva is coming off COVID protocols. I think he's going to be available. And by the way, the two games they didn't play well on that road trip, they didn't have him out there against Washington State. And so I think you can tell how valuable he is. Now, we find out with Tad Boyle's not going to be there on Thursday night either, because he is in COVID protocols right now. And then Elijah Partey's situation is kind of tenuous at this point in time. And so, you know, they go against a very good basketball team they just beat last Tuesday, a team, by the way, that's never won here in Boulder. And they're certainly going to be motivated with that being on the table, and the fact they just got beat by Colorado. And then you're down to your head coach and, you know, potentially a couple of guys. We'll see what pans out here over the next day or so. But, yeah, that's going to be an interesting game on Thursday.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, for the longest time, it was so strange if a head coach ever missed a game, had to be something pretty severe. Now, we see it all the time now at every level, at the college and the pro level.
It's crazy. And the thing about it is, I talked to Chad here a couple days ago, he feels perfectly fine. I mean, he's, you know, other than maybe just a couple of sniffles, he feels perfectly fine. But because on Monday he did test positive, and so they determined, you know, they look at, you know, people much smarter than you and I are. You know, they're not sitting in their basement broadcasting. You know, they look at this stuff and determine when does the clock start, and then when does it end, when's the quarantine period end, and, you know, the test coming back positive or negative and all that kind of stuff. But it was determined he's not going to be back by Thursday. So, yeah, it's an amazing deal. But, again, he feels perfectly fine. Last time I talked to him, and so we hope he's certainly back on, you know, on Saturday for the game against Oregon State.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled, Mark, as we try to do. And I think the professionalism has just went up from me saying, hey, I'm doing the show from my basement. I think people will finally start to take this show a little more seriously.
Well, there's no doubt. Well, you know, I did that for years, right? I mean, I had my little broadcast unit set up. And so, you know, the fact that you're there, and it's, remember, it's all theater of the mind. So even if you aren't wearing pants, you can tell us you are. And we'll have to believe it. It's whatever you say becomes reality now. So you can talk about being in your palatial estate you know, you're sitting there with, you know, someone's waving a palm leaf over your head and getting a mint julep for all we know.
All of those things are now on the list. They're on the new basement list, so I'm writing those down. Mark, appreciate you, man. You be careful out there. And you know, I know you get a lot of snow. How much snow did you get where you live?
I think we got just over, close to a foot and a half, I guess.
Okay.
And, yes, yeah, so we got a pretty good bit last night and got up and pulled the plow out this morning and was able to work my way downhill. But, I don't listen, hey, I don't need to tell you this. Everyone knows how much we need all this. So, listen, no one's complaining about all the snow that's coming out right now.
Yeah, especially after that month of December. It felt like it was summertime. So, I think we're okay exactly. with it. Mark, appreciate you, man. We'll look out for your call tomorrow night.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Michael, we need to take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Bears basketball on the voice of the Bears, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Just a few minutes left here in this first hour. We're gonna talk to Bodie Hume to start the second hour off as well. The UNC Bears coming off of it was a tough loss the other night. Was that on Monday night against Portland State? They come all the way back to make it interesting, but couldn't finish the comeback. What does that mean for UNC going forward? They got Portland State. They get right back at it against Portland State tomorrow at home. So I know Bodie and the gang are chomping at the bit to get right back at it. And yes, we are going to talk about this Brian Flores situation on the other side. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.